We faced a number of challenges as a football team and as a coaching staff this year, and it's very obvious that we're nowhere near the expectations that we had as a team and as an organization. And responsibility for that solely goes on me. We did not have the type of season that we wanted, and we're going to do everything in our power, starting last night at 7 o'clock, to work towards fixing that in 2014 as we recalibrate our organization. And with that, I'll turn it over to Thomas.
To echo what Mike just said, obviously we are disappointed with a 4-12 season. We had very high expectations from a management standpoint as well. There are a lot of changes to be made and adjustments to be made and considered. I have all the respect and the faith in the world in Mike Smith as a head coach and his leadership, as well as our personnel department, as far as, again, calibrating and looking at our roster, looking at the entire football operations with myself, Smitty, and Arthur Blank, and getting this team back to the standards that we set back in 2008. So with that, we will open that up to questions.
For either of the gentlemen or both, what internally do you all are ready to say publicly were the factors that led to the first place to last place season?
Well, as I've said many times, as the season wore on, there was one thing that we did consistently, and that was play inconsistently. We didn't play well offensively, defensively, special teams, or coaching. The markers that you look at that are important, we didn't hit those goals. We didn't win the line of scrimmage in most football games, and that was a factor. And again, we're going to continue to evaluate everything from top to bottom in terms of what we have to do to fix this situation.
You know, Dee, this is also a function of acquisitions and, you know, changes in rosters and talent and depth, something that we're going to analyze at all levels. And we are truly going to, you know, pare it back and peel back whatever we need to be incredibly honest with ourselves as far as our approach, as far as the decisions that I made and we made as an organization to move on from players or to acquire certain players. We believe that we have a talented football team here and that we need to make adjustments. We can talk about those as well. But again, I really truly believe that we have the nucleus and the coach, the leadership to turn this around quickly within our off season.
Thomas, how concerned are you about the offensive line and problems that you guys have had there, and how do you address those issues?
You know, our offensive line, there's no mystery about that. We've had some challenges that have been difficult, not only for our offensive line, but for the guy spinning the ball, the guy that's very important for us, as many people on this team are. That's vital for us to be successful, to protect number two. I believe where things went awry offensive line-wise is more the missed assessment on the readiness of this offensive line to play together as a unit. I thought over and over how I could summarize that, and that's what I came up with. I think individually we have some players that are developing along the offensive line that we think have upside. Some were challenged more than others this year. Some played at times well, other times struggled. And we're going to do all in our power to make sure that we correct that at many levels. I mean, from the standpoint of future acquisitions to what I'm sure Mike would comment on from the standpoint of instructing and developing those players.
Guys like frontline players like Julio and Sean Weber's been, it's been a hard time staying healthy. When they're on the field, they're dynamic guys. Is that just kind of the way luck goes sometimes?
Well, I believe we've been very fortunate in our first five seasons to stay relatively healthy. Unfortunately, there were injuries this season that were that created some challenges, but it's our responsibility as coaches. We have a roster that we work with through April, May, June, and July to prepare them for the season. We can't use those as excuses. Obviously, we would all like to have the guys that are number one on our depth chart playing all season long. Unfortunately, that was not the case this year.
Have you made any changes in your coaching staff yet, or have any coaches left for other jobs?
No, we have not. And again, guys, if there will be any changes, we'll let you guys know.
Thomas, who is the one young player that took advantage of the opportunities towards the second half of the season and impressed you with the playing time you received?
There were a number of players that we were fortunate to have an opportunity to see, you know, play a lot of, you know, a lot of plays and have a lot of reps on our team, both special teams as well as on the offense and defensive side. I'd probably say Desmond Trufant. Have a guy like that come in. As you know, we moved up 8 spots to acquire him in the draft, and we had high expectations for him, and we think that he continues to grow with each rep and every game he plays. He's a competitor. To me, he's one of the guys, you know, moving forward that embodies what we believe, and that's, you know, playing this game with a passion and an element of toughness and grittiness, albeit at a corner position that we're looking for. So it's been fun to watch him develop and evolve as a first-year corner.
Coach, there's been an awful lot of staff changes league-wide from a lot of different teams. I know you mentioned you'll let the media members know exactly if you make any changes. When can we expect that to happen?
Again, guys, we're going through an evaluation from top to bottom, and it will include everything. And that, you know, there's a time frame and a decision tree in terms of the time that we will make those decisions. I think that everyone realizes that it happens at a certain time, usually in the first 2 weeks after the season.
Anything you can tell us about Mike
Nolan? I'm not going to talk about specifics about contracts. But I will tell you this, all three of our coordinators are now under contract for next season. They are very good football coaches that I'm glad that we have them under contract, and I'll have the opportunity to work with them in the 2014 season.
Coach Thomas, would you say that, going back to the offensive line, would you say that that's your number one priority? Do you feel that there are some guys in free agency that could help fill that need, and what do you think of the offensive linemen that are draft eligible?
As we all know, there are two ways to acquire, and that's through free agency and the draft. And you know, both sides of the spectrum offer, you know, valuable potential additions, and it's something that we're going to look heavily at on both sides. I mean, we have to, as we do at other positions that are of need, but obviously the offensive line. Back to making sure that we protect the guy that we've made a heavy investment and believe that he is the guy that's going to take us to where we want to go. It's very, very important that we have that, as I mentioned, other years. We believe it to make sure that we have that solid front in front of him protecting.
With some of the struggles that some of the guys have had on the line, does it make you know, the guys that you drafted high or whatever, does it make you reassess your approach towards dissecting those guys, or what does that make you do when you see some of these guys that have been drafted high?
You know, interestingly enough, I've heard things reported about, you know, our prowess and personally my prowess in bringing in offensive linemen, and our approach here has been, as you know, we've drafted one in the first round, one in the second round, and then 2 threes, 4 fives, and such. That's been our approach because we believe that you do not necessarily have to go, you know, extremely high in the draft to acquire, and you know, because that's a position where you're going to continue to develop your football players. As far as looking back on how we've approached it, we wanted to put the right people around Matt offensively in the past, as we've done defensively this year. That's important for us. We will never get away from making sure that we have the right talent, you know, on the periphery. Our focus will continue to be on the inside, both offensively and defensively, and we're not going to second guess or question what we've done from an offensive line standpoint. We do believe that we have We do believe that we have talent along the offensive line that will continue to develop. With that, you know, they need to continue to develop on their own, as well as, you know, with our coaching staff, you know, encouraging them and pushing them to be the best that they can be. That's important for us.
Hey, Coach, if you were to hand out game balls for the season on offense and defense, who would you give those out to? And was there an assistant coach that maybe recognition that we don't see often?
Well, I would have to, you know, think on that, because there were a number of players on the offensive and defensive side of the football that did some good things. I think that our quarterback played extremely well throughout the season. He was very accurate. When he had time to throw the football, he had games where he was above 75% in his completion percentage. I think that he played well. There were spurts where other guys on the offensive side had some outstanding games. And on the defensive side of the ball, the guy that probably stepped in and did a wonderful job was Paul Warlow. This is a guy that was a tackling machine, that was an undrafted free agent that ended up playing a significant amount of snaps for us this season. And I'm not going to comment about my coaching staff. I've got to go back and have a meeting with them here in a few minutes, and I'm sure it would be out there. But, you know, we've got to do a better job as a coaching staff. Ultimately, that's how we're judged. That's how the head coach is judged. And as I mentioned earlier, I take full responsibility for the record this season.
For both Thomas and Mike, I mean, what are some things going forward that you look at the way this season was built and the way that things went, that your job going forward you look at and say, well, maybe we shouldn't do it this way. I'll go about it this way.
I think that you have to evaluate everything in terms of how you start in April, and we'll evaluate how we start in February as a coaching staff. As I told the team in the last meeting, the season doesn't start in September. The 2014 season starts tomorrow. And, you know, there's things that we have to look and we have to evaluate, and we are looking at it all the way through in terms of how we start our off-season program, when we start our off-season program. We are limited by the CBA and what type of activities that we can have, but we will do some change-ups and we will change some things that we've already discussed about our off-season. And to me, that's where you lay the foundation for your season. So we're always going to be looking to evaluate what we can do better and what we feel like will help not only the coaching staff but help our football team.
From my standpoint, we've analyzed and overanalyzed and continued to analyze every move we've made in the offseason and, you know, leading up into this season, all throughout the entire season. Mike and I have discussed it many, many times. We'll continue to discuss. One of my conclusions at this point is that this isn't necessarily one move or the other move or this move or that move. It's not the individual moves. It's the aggregate of the moves that we made that I think hindsight might have been, again, misassessed the importance and how it would affect the entire team. Again, I don't think there's an individual move that we look at that we were concerned about necessarily. It's all of them together and how they affected the team at many levels, not necessarily always on the field, could be on the locker room, could be from a, leadership standpoint. We feel like we have some very good leaders on this team right now. That's one of the areas that I've spent a lot of time thinking about.
Can I ask both of you guys, and I'll start with by saying maybe it's too easy for us on the outside to talk about toughness, but I do think it's fair to talk about nastiness. Can I ask both of you, you think as you get ready to assess this and look at film again, you think this team was nasty enough to dole it out the way it has to be in this league?
Well, I'll say this. I know this team is a tough football team. This is a tough sport that only tough people play. There's not a whole lot of us that could go out there and do what those guys do. You know, nastiness can be judged in a different sense. I may look at it one way, you may look at another. I do believe this. I believe that we have to do a better job winning the line of scrimmage. And there's a lot of nasty things that happen on the line of scrimmage. And it's very important philosophically that we do that. If we're going to be successful, we've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And I don't believe that we did that effectively during the season. And it's something that we definitely have to improve on. So I don't know if that answers your question, but if you control the line of scrimmage, there's usually some nastiness going on, and we've got to control the line of scrimmage.
Would that go forward then to commit more to the run, Coach? Because it seemed like, you know, the running stats are down, but it didn't really seem like there were a lot of carries, as many carries as there were in previous years. You know what I mean? Committing to the run.
Well, I think what happened to us in a three-game stretch, I think we were online to be close in terms of our rushing attempts. But we got into three games there at a stretch in the middle of the season where we could not run the football simply because of the score. There were some turnovers that were returned for touchdowns. It was coming out in the second half of the ball game, and you got down by two-plus scores. And we weren't able to do that. But I will say this, guys, at the core, as a head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, I believe that you have to control the line of scrimmage. And if there's one thing that stood out this year, is that we did not control it on both sides of the football. And it doesn't mean necessarily running the football to control the line of scrimmage. You have to have a solid pocket for the quarterback to step up. When you are calling pass plays, you've got to have a line of scrimmage that's moved. And if the line of scrimmage is moved, then you're going to get an opportunity to get your running backs to the second level.
To your point, Chris, I think as an organization, I believe humbly I can speak for Arthur Blank as well as, you know, Coach Smith and myself. There is no question in my mind that this leadership group here wants nothing more than to have a tough, gritty football team. That's Mike Smith at the core, that's Arthur Blank at the core, and that is me at the core. We have no desire to come in here and have only a finesse-style team. We have all desire to be a tough, gritty football team that's going to go toe-to-toe with anyone. And I have all the confidence in the world that Smitty is going to make sure that the messaging going forward here is for us to continue to be that. As Mike said, this team is a mentally tough football team. We have some adjustments to make. But I think from a toughness and a grittiness standpoint, I think Mike's going to continue to stress that, and I think there will be a continued emphasis on that going forward.
Thomas, as you were mentioning earlier, your preference so far has been to develop offensive line and draft next year. Do you see it as more viable to sign a big dollar free agent guy there, which you haven't really done so far?
We haven't done that, and you know, philosophically it's been something that I've been hesitant about doing personally, and Smitty and I have talked a lot about it over the years we've been here. Normally it's not the best value, but at times we have to go against the sort of the value rating and look at what's best for the organization. If there is someone within free agency along the fronts that we deem is ideal for us, there's no question we'd consider that.
On that same subject, I was in Chicago when they brought in Julius Peppers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they felt the need to get that dominant pass rusher. That being said, do you think that how much of a need is that for you guys to have that dominant kind of pass rusher? And would you guys be willing to pay up on a guy like that?
You know, that's an interesting conversation, and again, we've talked about it a lot. I mean, with a defensive end or a corner in this league, a lot of times teams aren't letting their prime players go into free agency. That's just natural. They're such tough positions to hold on to or acquire in the first place. So I think it's very important to analyze at many levels before you, you know, decide to pull the trigger on something like that. With that, if you deem that person to be the difference maker, obviously it's going to be a huge price tag. And that's something that we'll always be very mindful of. But if that player were to fit our scheme, which is important as well, that's something that Smitty and his staff will dictate. Then we'll seriously contemplate.
Thomas,
on that same subject, any thoughts on Cloudy? Have you got a chance to really evaluate him?
Gosh, I don't even think he's declared yet, has he?
As we said today, you have the sixth pick. I know you won't get into specifics, so in general terms, how does the first 10 picks of this year's draft maybe overall compared to drafts you've been evaluating the last 5 years?
I mean, this is a very good top 10, I believe. Without getting into specifics, I think, you know, you can touch on a number of positions in the top 10 that are going to be, you know, probably where a lot of different teams will be looking at, you know, along the fronts, the skilled positions. You know, there are going to be some quarterbacks that are going to be, you know, tapping their way into the top 10 potentially, as well as, you know, there's some linebackers out there. So it's a mixed bag in my mind, and an effective mixed bag, honestly, in the top 15 to 20. So I'm encouraged by what we see so far.
Can I ask, when you guys look at film again, when you do the wrap up of going back and looking at the whole year, do you have an ability to take away the fact that a guy played for you? In other words, will you look at it and say, would I want that guy playing for me? Does it actually become that type of reevaluation for even players that have been in the locker room for a number of years? Can you look at it and say, that's a guy that I want, that's a guy that stays, that's a guy who maybe doesn't cut to the bar as high as we need to at this point? I mean, can you pull yourself out of it and pull names off the back of jerseys and watch it like that? Do you have to watch it like that at the end?
You take that first.
Well, as a coach, you want to always be improving your roster. There are limitations. You can't improve at every position every year. So I think that you go through a decision-making process in terms of what do you want to address and how do you want to address it. And I think that's what we spend a lot of time doing. But I can assure you this, as a coach, I want to have the best roster that we possibly can. And if we can find somebody better at a position, we'd like to have that guy, because it would make us a much better football team.
Tom's looking at the cap situation. Do you envision, like last year, having to possibly run up against having to let some of your veteran players go because of the situation?
I believe in the NFL today, so-called cap casualties are an issue for every team for the most part, unless you're at the top of it, of the heap, with $30, $40 million available. So I think it's something that we will get into as we continue to, you know, analyze and reanalyze and reevaluate, you know, this roster as it stands. And, you know, to Mike's point, I mean, we have we feel we have some very good football players on this team. We have other areas that we're going to have to, you know, heavily scrutinize and you know, in the end, put aside the agitation, you know, as it stands today, a day after a season like this, and be very, very mindful of, you know, where our potential moves may be, and that takes a little bit of time to really truly go into evaluating our present roster with an open mind and sort of a realistic outlook on what may be out there versus what we have on our roster.
Thomas, how do you look at the acquisitions of Steven Jackson and OC?
The acquisitions,
Bob. Bringing in Steven Jackson at OC.
You know, I think both of those gentlemen came in, as I said, from day one, and I won't waver on it. They both had their presence both on the field and off the field for us in leadership roles. They're both very tough guys in their own rights. In Steven's case, he battled injuries early on, and I thought he hit stride as the season went on. There's probably no more competitive person out there than the way Steven is. And OC is the same way. I mean, OC has provided us with really nice leadership in the room and working and helping our young guys develop. We have three young DNs that I think we've really have benefited from his tutoring. And on the field, I mean, he put up a lot of pressures. I know there were a couple times where I think he maybe should have come away with some sacks. Unfortunately, he didn't to turn the double-digit sacks in, excuse me. But, again, OC's been a nice acquisition for us, and I think Mike would agree with that. I mean, those two guys, what they've done for us.
Yeah, I think both those guys have been very good for our football team. They're great. They're great leaders. They're highly competitive, ultra competitive guys, and they've touched some of our young players in a very positive way.
Coach, were you and your staff at the Senior Bowl coaching?
Will we be at the Senior Bowl coaching? I do not know the answer to that. I don't know that the Senior Bowl has, or the NFL, whoever makes those decisions, has notified who the teams will be coaching the game there in Mobile. I can assure you this, regardless, we'll be there evaluating and looking at the senior talent that is going to be available for this year's draft.
Do you have the games missed by projected starters number for your injuries?
No, I don't. I know it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I want to reemphasize, you can't make injuries excuses in the NFL. We were very put in a very unfortunate situation because of some lost time with some very good players, some frontline players. But I still believe this. We as a coaching staff have had an opportunity to work with the young guys and get them developed and work with them and get them prepared to go out and play. We were put in that situation this year. We did get some good play out of some of the younger guys. There were some learning moments across the board, probably more so on the defensive side of the football. But you can't make injuries an excuse.
Mike, I know that every year the mantra is, you want to make this roster, you want more playing time. Earn it during the week and earn it on Sundays. Now more than ever, do you think that's the message going into this offseason and then when you guys open up camp? And does the collective bargaining agreement, the new version of it, hinder almost a little bit of that mentality of go fight for a job?
Well, I think that that message has already been delivered in terms of what happened in the last quarter of the season. I think you saw that there were a number of roster changes because of the way that guys practiced and the way that guys competed during the week. We wanted to get a good evaluation in putting them in game situations. And it's all about competition. When you don't get the results that you want, I think it even becomes more about the competition. It's not about draft status. It's not about zeros on your contract. It's about what have you done on the football field when we're out there practicing in April, May, June, July, and August. And we're going to make sure that we get the best 53 players on our roster to help us win in 2014.
Who was the best team you played this year?
The best team that we played this year? There are a number of good teams. We played arguably the toughest division this year in the NFC West. I think that that was the toughest division, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to talk about one team. We may be playing them again in the future, but the NFC West from top to bottom was probably the strongest division in my mind, especially in the NFC.
Can we get an injury update on the guys that were out on IR? I saw Croy today. We're interested in Baker, Johnson, Ewan, Julio, and Ewan.
Our entire football team was here today for the exit meetings and the exit physicals. I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about the individuals. We know the injuries that they sustained during the season, and they're all progressing well through their rehabilitation. And we'll have an update when we start on April 29th or 22nd.
Johnson, future tackle, Baker.
Excuse me?
Baker and Johnson, you lost your first They were first team tackles when you lost them this year. You hoping they return?
I think that from what I understand, there's no issue about a full recovery with either one of those guys. I spoke to both of them today. They're in good spirits and they're in their rehab. And like I said, we'll have more information as we as we go through this off season.
Thomas, would you like to sign Roddy to an extension? There's been talk about that.
You know, Roddy's made it very clear that he wants to be back here for the duration of his career, and he's obviously been a beyond fine football player for us. So we're hoping that that he will be able to do that.
Have any players besides Tony mentioned either of you that they're going to retire?
No. There's very few guys that retire in this day and age. Tony's one of the few that you go out on their terms.
Mike, do you think you'll be going to any? I know sometimes the NFL coaches go to college campuses and they try to pick up things. And do you suspect at any point, Thomas, as well, that you guys will be having conversations with other NFL teams or college teams about picking and choosing and picking brains this offseason about certain subjects?
That's something that we do every year. We spend a lot of time analyzing what other people are doing. You know, there's certain aspects that we want to look at. You know, I'll be quite frank, last season the buzzword was this, the read option. We spent time sharing ideas with a number of coaches, not only at the collegiate level, but at the NFL level. That's what coaches do. When it becomes the off season, we get to talk in hypotheticals. We don't get to do that during the season. It's got to be practical when we get to the regular season. So we'll do that. I don't think this is going to be different than any other year. We're going to go out and coaches talk ball. And when we're out visiting prospects, which we spend a whole lot of time doing, it's not just talking about the prospect that we're evaluating. We watch their film. We see some things that they're doing. We may ask them what they're doing in those situations.
Thomas Babbs expressed his interest to me yesterday, saying he wants to return. Just can you talk? Would you want him back, Jonathan Babineau, and just the way he has progressed as a player as well?
Yeah, I mean Jonathan has had a really nice season given. As far as the season we had, I mean, he was disruptive. He was healthy through the majority of the season and did a really nice job for us. And, he's almost becoming a little bit ageless. He's kind of falling in line with Tony from the standpoint of he continues to produce very well with a lot of energy and a lot of passion and tenacity. So it would be nice to have him back as well.
I know it's not the position you want to be in, but the one-year turnaround in the NFL, both of this year's playoff teams, I mean, it really can happen. It does happen in this league. How quickly will that be part of the message going forward?
Well, if I remember correctly, back in 2008, there was a team that was 4-12 and turned around, or 2007 was 4-12 and turned around to 11-5 in one season. And there's a lot of guys that were on that football team, on both of those football teams, that experienced that. So, there is a system in place that tries to create parity in the National Football League, and everybody's trying to beat that and be on the top side. And that's what we've been able to do 5 out of the 6 years that we've been here. And our sole intention moving forward from this day is to make sure that we're back where we need to be as a team and an organization.
Last one, Paul. Hey, Thomas, was there at any point during the season that you were – genuinely concerned about Matt Ryan's health?
Matt's obviously one of the toughest guys, if not the toughest guys on our football team, with what he has to deal with both mentally and physically this year, unfortunately. And you're always concerned about the health of your marquee type players, and yet I really wasn't in the spot where I thought about that as much. I thought about it, but I really felt that we were doing the right thing, and Matt has an uncanny ability to escape and get out of the way in his own way within the pocket. But anytime you're thinking about your quarterback getting hurt and getting hit, it crosses your mind. But it wasn't to a point of me ever suggesting to Smitty from a general manager standpoint that I think we need to keep him off the field. Matt's a wildly competitive guy, and again, very, very tough, and that would have been almost sacrilegious to suggest to him that he shouldn't be on the field because of that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Gents. Yep. Thank you, guys, ladies.